Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoyeth the Spirit.
You are the bread of life. Feed us. Grant us access into this bread. Let this bread be broken again for us today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be seated as we go into God's word. I welcome all the ministers of God in the house, Mommy Bello, Daddy Bello,
Mommy, you're welcome, ma. Daddy's not on seat. Thanks for the privilege, sir. Pastor D, Pastor Jayola, Pastor Akinshusi, all our deacons and every person of God in the house this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking at revisiting Pentecost in our contemporary times. Until I came into this meeting, I thought I was still talking on the Holy Spirit. So I didn't know my topic has been changed. Hallelujah. All right, so let's see what we can do. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man had them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these we speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, others mocking said, you know, what meaneth this? You know, this is manna. That's meaning of manna. Said, this is manna. What's this? Hallelujah. So once again, God was giving, God gave another manna. Hallelujah. Give another manna. And that's why it is important you speak in tongues daily. Hallelujah. Is that, you know, manna is every day. Hallelujah. So it's good. This manna. So leave it every. You need it to survive daily. Hallelujah. While we are in the wilderness. Amen. Alright, that's just on a lighter note. So revisiting Pentecost in our contemporary times. You know, we say, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you know that Pentecost is actually one of the feasts of the Jews. There were three major feasts, even though actually there are about seven. When you break the three down, you have seven, but there were actually three majorly. Presently, in commemoration of Easter, we are observing Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's supposed to be Unleavened Bread now. Then, after Unleavened Bread, you have the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. Or call it, it's Pentecost, but let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Let's look at one of the narrations. I think that should be in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4, because of time. Let's not take verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations which shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the fourth month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. 7 days, in the 7 days an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow. After the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, And he shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf, and he land without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this second feast is what they call the Feast of Weeks. It's actually the feast that was celebrated when the harvest of the first fruits start coming in. We know that even when we look at our own agricultural season, you know, we have right now some people have started harvesting maize. That's the first fruit. You start harvesting maize and, you know, that grains. The Pentecost is celebrated around the harvest of grains. And the word Pentecost actually means the 50th day. The 50th, that's what Pentecost means. It means 50th. So after the, once they start harvesting the wheat, there's one of the places where it says once you put in the sickle, you know, into your wheat, then they start counting. They start counting 49 days. Once they start getting the harvest of the wheat, they start counting. So they count 7 weeks. So after the 49th day, the 50th day, that's Pentecost. So by then, the harvest cycle must have been completed. Hallelujah. The harvest cycle must have been completed. Almost all the harvest of the wheat and the grains might have come in, then they'll do an offering unto the Lord. So that's what Pentecost signifies. That is a celebration, is a thanksgiving unto God for that harvest. Hallelujah. You see that all these feasts of Israel are actually put around harvest. God put them around harvest. All of them, they're actually around harvest. All the feast. So we see Pentecost. So now, so that, you know, it's interesting the way God does his things. Now, God in, not Jesus, Jesus as, so meaning that when Jesus was raised from the dead, as far as God is concerned, that's an harvest. I don't know, counting 49 days, you know, Jesus stayed for 40 days and gave them infallible proofs. Then he left, and for another 10 days, it was the 10th day after he left that the Holy Ghost came. Meaning that from the time Jesus rose from the dead, the sickle has been put in. Do you get? You know, I said that from the day they start reaping that thing, do you understand? As far as God is concerned, they are supposed to start counting. Then 49 days after the 50th day, that's when they declare Pentecost. So the resurrection of Jesus itself is actually a harvest. And so counting from that time, and then when the 50th day came, there was also, that in a way was actually a culmination of an harvest in a sense. What does that mean? See, everyone it's like a completion of harvest. As far as God is concerned, God is not going to lose one harvest. I don't know if you understand what I said. All them that ought to believe, we believe. Do you understand that? All them that ought to believe, everyone that ought to be saved, will be what? Will be saved. Because that's what it means. By the time Pentecost is being celebrated, harvest is what? Has been brought in. Harvest has been brought in. The grains have entered. So God is saying that I've completed that work. As many that ought to be saved will be saved. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. And that is why you describe that in the celebration of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Then we saw the harvest started what? Coming in. Now, what we are experiencing is bringing in the harvest. As far as God is concerned, the harvest has come in. Do you understand that? As far as God is concerned, the harvest has what? Has come in. But now we are walking. And do you know that's how everything is? God has finished everything he wants to do. He has finished his work. You think God is still doing anything? Do you not see it in Hebrews? He said his work has been finished from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. He has finished his work. God is resting. Amen. God is what? God is resting. God isn't working anymore. He's not working because he has done everything that he needed to do. And nothing can fail. Nothing can fail. Hallelujah. So the essence of harvest in our time, let's now go to Acts chapter 1. Let's now look at Acts chapter 1. You know, we're talking about Pentecost. Acts chapter 1. There was an interesting discourse. Let's take it from verse 1. The former treatise, I'll just rush this. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Yes? Are you sure your pace will be good for me because of my time? Unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles. Wait, let's talk a little here before we leave. Unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, I think I was discussing with somebody, I think it was Brother Manuel who did that, I was talking to, you know, and I was saying, every believer has the Holy Ghost inside of them. Every believer has the Holy Ghost. Anyone that believes has the Holy Ghost. Experience of Acts chapter 2 is an after salvation experience. Or, yes, it's an after salvation experience, but it could have happened at the same time that salvation took place. Remember, I shared that with us some weeks back when Paul was asking those disciples in Ephesus. He said, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? KJV said, since you believed. But when we look at it well, we saw that what he actually said was that, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? Meaning that you could as well been filled with the Holy Ghost when you also believed. It necessarily no have lag. And we've seen that many instances. We saw even in the Acts, in the Cornelius house. In fact, before there was a proclamation of their faith in Jesus, they were already what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Once they believed in their heart, the Holy Ghost fell on them. So somebody can be preaching and somebody is speaking in tongues, and the person has not even said anything. But right in the person's heart, faith has already been concluded. Hallelujah. So the coming of the Holy Ghost upon them in Acts chapter 2 was after, in John chapter 20, after Jesus was resurrected. Then Jesus came to them and breathed on them and said what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Right there, the Holy Ghost, they got saved. Amen. They got born again. You know, they were not born again before Jesus was resurrected. Nobody got born again while Jesus was on earth. Because that doorway has not been opened. He needed to die. He needed to resurrect before anybody could get born again. So after he finished, was resurrected, he breathed on them, and then they had the Holy Ghost. And look at what this verse says. He said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, meaning that he did not give them the commandments directly. I don't know if you understand that. What is the meaning of true? If I'm speaking to you through somebody, meaning I'm not the one doing the direct speaking. Somebody is doing it, but at my order. So the Holy Ghost had already talking to these disciples even before they got filled. Hello? Hello? Meaning that even without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a person can be led. Hallelujah. A person can be led by the Spirit without being filled. That's what happened. Did they not tell us that he had been praying for people to be healed? before he even got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Yes, you read it. You read tongues beyond the upper room. Egi was already a good preacher, better than many of the preachers today, before he was even filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost had already, even while Jesus was still here, the Holy Ghost was already, because they already have him what? Inside of them. You remember that John told us of the holy unction. He said, you have this unction within you. He said, as it teaches you. Amen. See, the coming of the Holy Ghost upon us is for ministry. It's not for our personal growth. That is why a person can be filled with the Holy Ghost and remain a babe. Because it will effective. When I mean ministry, I'm not saying ministry in terms of, I'm talking about external work. You need that to do external work. If I to even to preach to people effectively, you need to be filled. But you can receive personal edification by yourself, for yourself, and still be going, or even though it will not be at a very, very effective pace, but you can be enjoying that even as a believer. But you know, it's because that we are not properly taught today. And we have not really opened people's eyes to see the synergy between these things. People only look at baptism with the Holy Ghost, neglecting the one on their inside. That is why a healer can die of sickness. Somebody with the gift of healing can die of sickness. Egi was sick. And the Lord had told him before, when you are sick like that, lay your hands on yourself and receive your healing. He was sick. He had forgotten. And Jesus said, I allow you to go through that experience because of what I told you. He said, now lay your hands on yourself. Amen. A prophet can live his life. His family can be in crisis. Amen. A prophet's family can be in crisis. His business can be ruined. Amen. If he does not learn to use what every other believer also uses for his own personal good, he may have issue. That's why even again for his personal life, he said he was led to the inner witness most of the time. And every of us have access to the inner witness. You can imagine for his own personal life, he said he was led to the inner witness. Even in times of financial breakthrough, it was through inner witness he was led. Not because he was a prophet. Hallelujah. So I just want to place emphasis on that even through the Holy Ghost, Jesus gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen before Acts chapter 2 came. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, if you now go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts chapter 1, let's look at that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come what? Upon you. And we saw that thing came to pass in Acts chapter what? Chapter 2. Jesus told them, you will receive power. Amen. The disciples asked Jesus a question. They said, will you at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? He said, that's not your business. You want to come into the council? Because that's what they were asking for. Can we know what God is planning? God said, that one, it is the Father's right. But you, what is important to you now is power. Go and witness. Because right now, what God is interested in now is harvest. I don't know if you understand that. Right now, what God is interested in what? Is harvest. What is the essence of witnessing? Is that people might what? Believe. The Father has completed the work of harvest, but now, you know, in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Give us Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from where? From on high. Listen, the promise of the Father is not power. The promise of the Father is what? The Holy Ghost. But you will receive power
when the Holy Ghost come upon you. So Pentecost is about power. Hello? Did you hear what I'm saying? But that is not all. Because you first receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the promise of the what? Of the Father. Inside the Holy Ghost is everything. But power came in the same time with what? With Pentecost. Why is that like that? Because God wants to do what? Witness. Sir? Bring harvest. Yes, sir. God wants to bring harvest. And for proper harvest, harvest of this kind. Listen, there are categories of harvest. For this kind of harvest, don't forget, this is harvest of grains. This is harvest of people that will believe the gospel. This is not an harvest of maturity. Hello? This is not an harvest of maturity. This is an harvest of let people believe. So, and it is essential. One of the instrumentality of doing that, if that is going to be effective, there is need for dunamis. So he told them, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Listen, the next thing, the question we're supposed to ask ourselves many times, that Father, apart from power, why else did you give us the Spirit? Because it's like that's the only one we have been talking about. Don't forget, he said, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. That's the Holy Ghost. He now said, but you will receive power. Now we sat down with the power, not minding that, okay, but the promise is not even power. The promise is the Holy Ghost. So after power, what else? I leave that one for you. Go and find out. Hallelujah. But right now what we're interested, because we are talking about Pentecost. See, we cannot talk Pentecost if we don't talk power. Power, dunamis, ability that God gives. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, let's go to that, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You know when we're singing that song, he said, I can't deny it. So I what? I declare. That's a witness. A witness is somebody who can't deny what he has seen. And because he can't deny what he has seen, he will be what? Open his mouth. The reason why we are not opening our mouth is because we are still not sure. He said, Peter and John said, the things we have seen and hear, are you saying we should not declare it? He said, we can't, it's not possible. We've seen this thing. We walked with Jesus. We heard with him. We saw his life. We don't even know the infallible proofs. Did they come to share them with us? You know, they didn't even write. They just kept that document. That you don't need it. You don't need it to believe. It's the witnesses that needed it. Hallelujah. The first harvest of witnesses. Those guys needed a lot of conviction to push that thing. That the man died and rose again. And he didn't die again. You don't get that thing. People have been raised from the dead. But they still died. But this one you are saying he died. He rose again. He did not die again. He went to heaven. Ah. Hallelujah. You need a serious... For people that will go and proclaim it. See, it's not just proclaiming. Witnessing. They are not just witnessing of his life. They are witnessing of his death and his resurrection. So if you remove that part, the whole thing has been defeated. Jesus could have lived a wonderful and great life and then have died. So we are not just witnessing his life. We are witnessing that he lived here. We are witnessing that he died. And we are witnessing that he rose from again and is right now in heaven. Alive. No, you need a lot of conviction to be able to do that kind of work. So Jesus sat them down and gave them infallible proofs, meaning that you can't bring any evidence against those things. You can't fault those proofs. So that's why you see Jesus come, say, touch. Yeah, come, touch. Come and touch this place. Touch it. See it. Put your hand in the hole. This one is not spirit. Bring fish. Let's eat. I don't know how many more things Jesus did to those guys. Just wanting to what? Because if your witnesses are weak, your case is weak. Your witnesses must be strong. Your witnesses should not be the one that when the judge sits, some of them will just ejomufe lo yagbe. Hallelujah. Because maybe they thought they wanted to come and watch television. But by the time they enter inside that kolo, and say, come, it's like this thing is real. He says, sorry, I was actually not there. So Jesus come, even Thomas, Jesus took time to establish, he was trying to establish their heart. Amen. It was needed for them. It is in their strength of their conviction that we believe. It's because they were sure of what they were telling us. That is why we were able to believe. If they were not sure of what they were telling us, we will not believe. Now, I don't need what they saw. You don't get. I don't need those infallible proofs. Because those who have the infallible proofs have given good witness. And so we believe. So, but even for us to be able to extend the frontier of harvest, there is need for power. And that is what Pentecost is about. And that is why when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what we saw at first was tongues. Listen, even though we have divided the gift of the Spirit into power, revelation, and utterance, all of them are actually power. They are what? I'm not a Chinese. So if I start speaking Chinese now, what's that one? That's power. Chinese is far. Outside here itself, that's part of my language. Amen. I don't think is there any statement in Hausa that I even know? Maybe which are the common one we know? Na good day. So if I start speaking Hausa, that is why you know we said it that Pentecost is about harvest. That's why God looked at what is the best way to kickstart the harvest work. He saw that the easiest way is harvest. It's Pentecost, and the easiest way is tongues. There were many people, Jews, that were. Why? Because they came to celebrate the feast. Amen. And so when they had people speaking, they know they were Galileans. You know, when we read it, look at all the different lists of nations that were there. They were gathered, and then somebody who from Egypt was hearing his language. The person from Libya was hearing his language, and everybody was wondering, what is happening in this place? That was God's strategy. Amen. That was what God's strategy to be able to what? Bring in harvest. And the thing worked perfectly. You know how many people were saved that day? How many? 3,000 people. 3,000 as pioneer. Not that they have been preaching before. This is the first time. First outing, sir. And 3,000 were saved. It's not now. It's not now. The first time. And 3,000. Do you think 3,000 is a small number? 3,000 is not a small number. On the power of power. That was Pentecost. Because God wanted to do something. Amen. And so we cannot overemphasize the issue of power. He said, you shall receive power after after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. The truth is that even in our days, if we are going to be true witnesses, we need what? Yours may not be after the order of the apostles. They were apostles. They are the pioneer of this thing. I'm not a pioneer. I don't even know if they start listing the... I don't even know where I will fall in the ladder. As in, maybe millions. I don't know. But even today, we need what? We need power. We need power. Jesus said in John chapter 4 verse 48. Give us John chapter 4 verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not what? Believe. He was talking to the Jews. He said, if people don't see signs and wonders, you won't believe. You won't believe. So for them, they needed signs and wonders. And then, added to their problem, God has blinded them. And like that, they have taught us that even signs and wonders now will not appeal to these Jews. That's why to save Paul. See, Damascus experience was not signs and wonders. That one. You know, there's something about heaven to the Jews. They said Moses gave us bread from heaven. See, all these things Jesus is doing, they are earthly things. Do something from heaven. Do something from what? Heaven. That was why a light came from heaven. Amen. To save Paul. That was not an earthly work. The Lord descended from heaven and he saw a light. That's the thing that can save that kind of a person. So if a light from heaven can save, that's Jesus is heaven. Do a miracle. When they were saying, Jesus, give us a sign, what they are saying is do something heavenly. How will bread come from heaven for 40 years? That was a sign. So that is what we are doing. Let the leg go. You have not done up to Moses. You've not done up to Moses. You need to do something that supersedes what Moses have done. He provided bread for them, but that bread, he broke bread. He broke it. This one, somebody brought bread, somebody brought fish. He broke it. Moses' own. Nobody, it was from heaven. He still not match Moses. Hallelujah. Except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And so to activate faith in the heart of people. We now see another thing that works with faith. We now see that just the word alone sometimes cannot do the work. God needs to complement his word with power. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But we are also seeing that sometimes people, God needs to allow demonstrations of power. When people see it, something that is beyond their imagination, something they'll say, no, this is God. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be. What I just want to end up with is we should not lose sight of that thing. In our life, we should expect to see the power of God at work. We can't deny it. I've said it before. I've stood in the Daniel in Federal Government College, Idoani, as a 16-year-old girl, boy. And we're doing a vigil. And I said, let all eyes be closed. Nobody should open their eyes because the angels of God are here. And a lady tried to find out whether that is true or not. She was blinded. I'm serious. God is my witness. And I have sufficient witnesses. She just started crying, my eyes. They took her out of the place, took her into the conference. They said, what happened? She said, I opened my eyes. Why did you open your eyes? She couldn't see again. So truly the angels of God were in that meeting and they told her we are here. They told her we are here. They said, well, confess your sins. Tell God you are sorry for disobeying the instruction. She did that. Pam. Her eyes are open. We still met in foot. I know that lady. I still remember her name. She can't see me and forget. Ah, you lost your sight for a few minutes. You can you forget that kind of thing? Even if they tell her there's no power of God, she says, I remember one instance. Lord, make us witnesses. Make us witnesses. That we can't deny what we have seen. That we can't deny what you have done in our life. In the name of Jesus, release your power upon us once again. In such a mighty way that we'll be great witnesses for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we pray.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.